So nice to be with all the devotees tonight. Well, we're going to start tonight with the Srimad Bhagavat Mahima Stotram. Praise of the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam, written by Srila Sanatana Goswami. This is found in the Sri Krishna Lila Stava. Swami, written, translated by Gopi Puranadana Prabhu. This book is available from the BBT. If you don't have it, run, don't walk. It's a beautiful deity of a book to have in your home. Sarva Shastradhi Piyusha Sarva Vedaika Satpala Sarva Siddhanta Ratnadya Sarva Lokaika Drikprada. O nectar from the ocean of all scriptures, singular fruit of all the Vedas, rich mine of the precious gems of all conclusive truths, you are the only giver of sight to all the worlds. Sarva Bhagavata Prana Srimad Bhagavata Prabho Kali Dvanto Ditaditya Shri Krishna Parivartita. O life air of all the Supreme Lord's devotees, O Master Srimad Bhagavatam, you are the sun risen in the darkness of Kali. You are the exact image of Shri Krishna. Paramananda Pataya Prema Varshri Sarayate Sarvada Sarvasevyaya Shri Krishnaya Namostume. I bow down to you who are supremely blissful to read. Your every syllable pours down a flood of prema. You can always be served by everyone. You are Shri Krishna himself. Madeka Bando Matsangin Matguro Man Mahadhana Manistaraka Madbhagya Madananda Namostute. My only friend, my constant companion, my spiritual master, my great wealth, my savior, my good fortune, my source of ecstasy, I bow down to you. Asatu Satuta Dayin Ati Nicho Chadakara Hana Muncha Kadachin Mam Premna Hrit Kantayo Spura. O bestower of saintliness to the unsaintly, O exalter of the most fallen, please never leave me. Always appear in my heart and my voice with pure love. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Nena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We're continuing with our reading of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7. Tonight we're in the midst of Chapter 4, Hiranyakashipu Terrorizes the Universe. And we're taking up at text number 14. And in previous readings, mostly last night, we heard about how Hiranyakashipu performed terrible tapasya, how Lord Brahma came to appease him, how Hiranyakashipu asked for multiple benedictions using his intellect to close any loopholes that would obligate him to be killed in any way, shape, or form. And Brahma granted those benedictions and also restored Hiranyakashipu's physical body by pouring water from his kamandalu. And Hiranyakashipu then began to terrorize the universe after receiving the benedictions and the power, which is what demons do as soon as they get something from God, then they misuse it. And we heard earlier in Chapter 3 about how reversals are common in the material world. No matter what secure position we think we have, someone can come along and change that. Doesn't matter where you are, can be in a heavenly planet. You can be the CEO of a corporation. You can be the top dog. But sooner or later, some reversal will come. This is the nature of the material world. And Prabhupada gave an example of Subhuti Roy, who had been the master of a particular worker who then later on became his master, and whose wife asked him to kill Subhuti Roy because she saw a cane mark that he had, that Subhuti had inflicted on this person when he was working for Subhuti Roy. And we also heard about how the opulences of the devotees are never diminished. And very charming point about how Hiranyakashipu performed so many severe austerities with great difficulty and then received benedictions, whereas which were eventually vanquished. He was vanquished. His opulences were taken again, taken back. However, Prabhupada points out that Prahlad was only 5 years old. He couldn't do any austerities, but simply by performing a little devotional service according to the instructions of his spiritual master, Narada, then he got the greatest of all benedictions, and he surpassed the greatness of Hiranyakashipu. So a little bit of devotion, following in the footsteps of one's spiritual master, is the true path to complete perfection in life. And last night, Shraddha Devi Dasi appointed us to this section in which Srila Prabhupada says in a purport that one may gain material opulence in the material world with great strength and endeavor, but maintaining it also requires great endeavor. Less is more. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, yadrishya labha santushto, learn to be satisfied with gain that comes of its own accord. That's a very good mental practice, to not chase after material desires which simply expand as we chase them and obligate us to more and more work in the material world, but see if you can sit still and take what comes naturally. And oftentimes we find that we're in an opulent situation already. It's only our mind that projects these desires that we need more and more and more. And Prabhupada points out that no one can live happily in the material world without disturbance. It doesn't matter which planet you're on. There's going to be disturbance. There are threefold miseries in the material world, adiatmic, adibhotic, adidaivic. And no matter where you go, there's going to be some disturbance from your own body and mind, from other living entities, or from the demigods themselves, causing some kind of natural disturbance. So just get used to it, because that's the way it is. Manage your expectations, and then without being perturbed by those things, turn all of your attention towards and energy towards advancing in devotional service. This is the advice of Narada Muni also in the first canto, fifth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, canto 7, chapter 4, continuing with verse 14. Jagur Mahindrasanam Ojasastitam Vishvas Vasus Tamburu Asmadadayaha Gandharva Siddha Rishayostu Van Muhur Vidyadarash Sharashash Chapandava. O Maharaj Yudhishthira, descendant of Pandu, by dint of his personal power, Hiranyakashipu, being situated on the throne of King Indra, controlled the inhabitants of all the other planets. The two Gandharvas, Vishvavasu and Tumburu, I myself and the Vidyadharas, Apsaras, the sages, all offered prayers to him again and again just to glorify him. Purport, the Asuras sometimes become so powerful that they can engage even Narada Muni and similar devotees in their service. This does not mean that Narada was subordinate to Hiranyakashipu. Sometimes, however, it so happens in this material world that great personalities, even devotees, can be controlled by the asuras. Sa eva varnasham mibhi kratubhir buridakshinahi ijamano havir bhagan agrahit swena tejasa. Being worshipped by sacrifices offered with great gifts by those who strictly follow the principles of Varna and Ashram, Hiranyakashipu, instead of offering shares of the oblations to the demigods, accepted them himself. Akrishta pachya tasyasit saptadvi pavati mahi tatakama dugagavo nanacharya padam nabaha. As if in fear of Hiranyakashipu, the planet Earth, which consists of seven islands, delivered food grains without being plowed. Thus it resembled cows like the Surabhi of the spiritual world or the Kamatuga of heaven. The earth yielded sufficient food grains, the cows supplied abundant milk, and outer space was beautifully decorated with wonderful phenomena. 17. Ratnakarash charatnaugams tatpatnyash chohur urmibihi shara sidhu grita shaudra dadhi shiram rito dakaha. By the flowing of their waves, the various oceans of the universe, along with their tributaries, the rivers, which are compared to their wives, supplied various kinds of gems and jewels for Hiranyakashipu's use. These oceans were the oceans of salt water, sugarcane juice, wine, clarified butter, milk, yogurt, and sweet water. Purport. The water of the seas and oceans of this planet, of which we have experience, are salty, but other planets within the universe contain oceans of sugarcane juice, liquor, ghee, milk, and sweet water. The rivers are figuratively described as wives of the oceans and seas because they glide down to the oceans and seas as tributaries like the wives attached to their husbands. Modern scientists attempt excursions to other planets, but they have no information of how many different types of oceans and seas there are within the universe. According to their experience, the moon is full of dust, but this does not explain how it gives us soothing rays from a distance of millions of miles. As far as we are concerned, we follow the authority of Vyasadeva and Shukadeva Goswami, who have described the universal situation according to the Vedic literature. These authorities differ from modern scientists who conclude from their imperfect sensual experience that only this planet is inhabited by living beings, whereas the other planets are vacant and full of dust. 18. Shaila droni pir akridham sarvar tushu gunandrumaha dadhara lokapalanam eka eva pratagunan. The valleys between the mountains became fields of pleasure for Hiranyakashipu, by whose influence all the trees and plants produce fruits and flowers profusely in all seasons. The qualities of pouring water, drying and burning, which are all qualities of the three departmental heads of the universe, namely Indra, Vayu, and Agni, were all directed by Hiranyakashipu alone, without assistance from the demigods. Purport. It is said in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, Tejo Vadi Mridam Yata Vinima Yaha. This material world is conducted by fire, water, and earth, which combine and take shape. Here it is mentioned that the three modes of nature, Pratag Gunan, act under the direction of different demigods. For example, King Indra is in charge of pouring water, the demigod Vayu controls the air and dries up the water, whereas the demigod controlling fire burns everything. Hiranyakashipu, however, by dint of his austere performance of mystic yoga, became so powerful that he alone took charge of everything without assistance from the demigods. 19. Saitam nirchita kabhu kakub ekarad vishayan priyan yatopa josham Punjano Natvrityad Atitendriyaha Ajitendriyaha. In spite of achieving the power to control in all directions, and in spite of enjoying all types of dear sense gratification as much as possible, Hiranyakashipu was dissatisfied because instead of controlling his senses, he remained their servant. Purport. This is an example of a suric life. Atheists can advance materially and create an extremely comfortable situation for the senses, but because they are controlled by the senses, they cannot be satisfied. This is the effect of modern civilization. Materialists are very much advanced in enjoying money and women, yet dissatisfaction prevails within human society because human society cannot be happy and peaceful without Krishna consciousness. As far as material sense gratification is concerned, materialists may go on increasing their enjoyment as far as they can imagine, but because people in such a material condition are servants of their senses, they cannot be satisfied. Hiranyakashipu was a vivid example of this dissatisfied state of humanity. 20. Evam Aishwarya Matasya Dhriptasyochastra Vartinaha Kalo Mahan Vyatiyaya Brahma Shapam Upeyushaha. Hiranyakashipu thus passed a long time being very much proud of his opulences and transgressing the laws and regulations mentioned in the authoritative shastras. He was therefore subjected to a curse by the four Kumaras, who were great brahmanas. Purport. There have been many instances in which demons, after achieving material opulences, have become extremely proud, so much so that they have transgressed the laws and regulations given in the authoritative shastras. Hiranyakashipu acted in this way. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 16:23, Yashastra viram utsrija vartate kama karataha na sasidhim vapnoti na sukham na parangmatim. He who discards scriptural injunctions and acts according to his own whims attains neither perfection nor happiness nor the supreme destination. The word shastra refers to that which controls our activities. We cannot violate or transgress the laws of regulative principles mentioned in the shastras. Bhagavad Gita repeatedly confirms this. Tasmach chastram pramanam te karya karya vyavastitau nyatva shastra vidhanuktam karma kartum iharhasi. One should understand what is duty and what is not duty by the regulations of the scriptures. Knowing such rules and regulations, one should act so that he may gradually be elevated. That's from Bhagavad Gita 16:24. One should act according to the directions of the shastra, but the material energy is so powerful that as soon as one becomes materially opulent, he begins to transgress the shastric laws. As soon as one transgresses the laws of shastra, he immediately enters upon the path of destruction. Tasyogra danna sambigna sarve loka sapalaka antyart antyatra labdha sharana sharanam yayur achutam. Everyone, including the rulers of the various planets, was extremely distressed because of the severe punishment inflicted upon them by Hiranyakashipu. Fearful and disturbed, unable to find any other shelter, they at last surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. Purport. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 5:29, Bhoktaram yajna tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram surhitam sarvabhutanam yatvamam shantim ritshati. The sages, knowing me as the ultimate purpose of all sacrifices and austerities, the supreme lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attain peace from the pangs of material miseries. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is actually the best friend of everyone. In a condition of distress or misery, one wants to seek shelter of a well-wishing friend. The well-wishing friend of the perfect order is Lord Sri Krishna. Therefore, all the inhabitants of the various planets, being unable to find any other shelter, were obliged to seek shelter at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. We're obliged to seek shelter at the lotus feet of the Supreme Friend. If from the very beginning we seek shelter of the Supreme Friend, there will be no cause of danger. It is said that if a dog is swimming in the water and one wants to cross the ocean by catching hold of the dog's tail, certainly he is foolish. Similarly, if in distress one seeks shelter of a demigod, he is foolish, for his efforts will be fruitless. In all circumstances, one should seek shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then there will be no danger under any circumstances. Text 22-23. Let us offer our respectful obeisances unto that direction where the Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated, where those purified souls in the renounced order of life, the great saintly persons, go, and from which, having gone, they never return. Without sleep, fully controlling their minds, and living on only their breath, the predominating deities of the various planets began worshipping Hrishikesh with this meditation. Purport. The two words, tasyai kashtayai, are very significant. Everywhere, in every direction, in every heart, and in every atom, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated in his features as Brahman and Paramatma. Then what is the purpose of saying tasyai kashtayai in that direction where he is situated? During Hiranyakashipu's time, his influence was everywhere, but he could not force his influence into the places where the Supreme Personality of Godhead had his pastimes. For example, on this earth, there are such places as Vrindavan and Ayodhya, which are called dhams. In the dham, there is no influence from Kali Yuga or any demon. If one takes shelter of such a dham, worship of the Lord becomes very easy, and resultant spiritual advancement quickly takes place. In fact, in India, one may still go to Vrindavan and similar places to achieve the results of spiritual activities quickly. Text 24. Then there appeared before them a transcendental sound vibration emanating from a personality not visible to material eyes. The voice was as grave as the sound of a cloud, and it was very encouraging, driving all fear away. The voice of the Lord vibrated as follows: O best of learned persons, do not fear. I wish all good fortune to you. Become my devotees by hearing and chanting about me and offering me prayers, for these are certainly meant to award benedictions to all living entities. I know all about the activities of Hiranyakashipu and shall surely stop them very soon. Please wait patiently until that time. Report. Sometimes people are very much eager to see God. In considering the word madarshanam, seeing me, was mentioned in this verse, one should note that in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord is bhaktimam abhijanati. In other words, the ability to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or to see him or talk with him, depends on one's advancement in devotional service, which is called bhakti. In bhakti, there are 9 different activities: shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu smaranam, parasevanam, artanam, vandanam, dasyam, sakyam, atmanivedanam. Because all these devotional activities are absolute, there is no fundamental difference between worshiping the deity in the temple, seeing him, and chanting his glories. Indeed, all these are ways of seeing him, for everything done in devotional service is a means of direct contact with the Lord. The vibration because they were offering prayers and because the vibration of the Lord was present. Contrary to the laws of the material world, there is no difference between seeing the Lord, offering prayers, and hearing the transcendental vibration. Pure devotees, therefore, are fully satisfied by glorifying the Lord. Such glorification is called kirtan. Performing kirtan and hearing the vibration of the sound, Hare Krishna, is actually seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. One must realize this position, and then one will be able to understand the absolute nature of the Lord's activities. Text 27. When one is envious of the demigods who represent the Supreme Personality of Godhead of the Vedas, which give all knowledge of the cows, brahmanas, Vaishnavas, and religious principles, and ultimately of me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he and his civilization will be vanquished without delay. When Hiranyakashipu teases the great devotee, Prahlad, his own son, who is peaceful and sober and who has no enemy, I shall kill Hiranyakashipu immediately, despite the benedictions of Brahma. Purport, of all sinful activities, an offense to a pure devotee or Vaishnav is the most severe. An offense at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava is so disastrous that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has compared it to a mad elephant that enters a garden and causes great havoc by uprooting many plants and trees. If one is an offender at the lotus feet of a Brahmin or Vaishnava, his offenses uproot all his auspicious activities. One should therefore very carefully guard against committing Vaishnava aparadha, or offenses at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava. Here the Lord clearly says that although Hiranyakashipu had received benedictions from Lord Brahma, these benedictions would be null and void as soon as he committed an offense at the lotus feet of Prahlad Maharaj, his own son. A Vaishnava like Prahlad Maharaj is described herein as Nirvaira, having no enemies. Elsewhere in Srimad Bhagavatam 3.25.21 it is said, Ajata Shatrava Shanta Sadava Sadhu Bhushanaha. A devotee has no enemies, he is peaceful, he abides by the scriptures, and all his characteristics are sublime. A devotee does not create enmity with anyone, but if someone becomes his enemy, that person will be vanquished by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, despite whatever benedictions he may have received from other sources. Hiranyakashipu was certainly enjoying the fruitful results of his austerities, but here the Lord says that as soon as he committed an offense at the lotus feet of Prahlad Maharaj, he would be ruined. One's longevity, opulence, beauty, education, and whatever else one may possess as a result of pious activities cannot protect one if one commits an offense at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava. Despite whatever one possesses, if one offends the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, he will be vanquished. 29. The great saint Narada Muni continued, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the spiritual master of everyone, thus reassured all the demigods living in the heavenly planets, they offered their respectful obeisances unto him and returned, confident that the demon Hiranyakashipu was now practically dead. Purport, the less intelligent men who are always busy worshipping the demigods should note that when the demigods are harassed by the demons, they approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead for relief. Since the demigods resort to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, why should the worshippers of the demigods not approach the Supreme Lord for whatever benefits they desire? Srimad Bhagavatam 2.3.10 says, Akama sarva kamo va moksha kama udarati tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Whether one desires everything or nothing, or whether he desires to merge into the existence of the Lord, he is intelligent only if he worships Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by rendering transcendental loving service. Whether one is a karmi, jnani, or yogi, if one wants a particular benediction fulfilled, even if it be material, one should approach the Supreme Lord and pray to him, for then it will be fulfilled. There is no need to approach any demigod separately for the fulfillment of any desire. Text 30. Hiranyakashipu had four wonderful, well-qualified sons, of whom the one named Prahlad was the best. Indeed, Prahlad was a reservoir of all transcendental qualities because he was an unalloyed devotee of the Personality of Godhead. Purport, Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana sarvar gunas tatra samasate suraha. In one who has unflinching devotional faith in Krishna, all the good qualities of Krishna and the demigods are consistently manifest. That's from Bhagavatam 5.18.12. Prahlad Maharaj is praised herein for having all good qualities because of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, a pure devotee who has no motives has all good qualities, material and spiritual. If one is spiritually advanced, being a staunch, liberal devotee of the Lord, all good qualities are manifest in his body. On the other hand, harava bhaktasya kuto mahadguna, if one is not a devotee, even if he has some materially good qualities, they have no value. That is the verdict of the Vedas. Text 31-32. The qualities of Maharaj Prahlad, the son of Hiranyakashipu, are described herewith. He was completely cultured as a qualified brahmana, having very good character and being determined to understand the absolute truth. He had full control of his senses and mind. Like the supersoul, he was kind to every living entity and was the best friend of everyone. To respectable persons, he acted exactly like a menial servant. To the poor, he was like a father. To his equals, he was attached like a sympathetic brother. And he considered his teachers, spiritual masters, and older God-brothers to be as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was completely free from unnatural pride that might have arisen from his good education, riches, beauty, aristocracy, and so on. Purport. These are some of the qualifications of a Vaishnav. A Vaishnav is automatically a Brahmana because a Vaishnav has all the good qualities of a Brahmana. Shamo damas tapas shaucham shantir arja vimevacha jnanam viganam astikyam brahma karma subhavajam. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, wisdom, knowledge, and religiousness. These are the qualities by which the Brahmanas work. That's from Bhagavad Gita 18:42. These qualities are manifest in the body of a Vaishnav. Therefore, a perfect Vaishnav is also a perfect Brahmana, as indicated here by the words Brahmanya, Shila Sampanna. A Vaishnav is always determined to understand the Absolute Truth, and to understand the Absolute Truth, one needs to have full control over his senses and mind. Prahlad Maharaj possessed all these qualities. A Vaishnav is always a well-wisher to everyone. The six Goswamis, for example, are described in this way. Dhira dhira janapriyo. They were popular with both the gentle and the ruffians. A Vaishnav must be equal to everyone, regardless of one's position. Atmavat. A Vaishnav should be like Paramatma. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridesh arjuna tishtati. Paramatma does not hate anyone. Indeed, he is in the heart of a Brahmana, but he is also in the heart of a pig. As the moon never refuses to distribute its pleasing rays even to the home of a chandal, a Vaishnava never refuses to act for everyone's welfare. Therefore, a Vaishnava is always obedient to the spiritual master, Arya. The word Arya refers to one who is advanced in knowledge. One who is deficient in knowledge cannot be called Arya. At the present, however, the word Arya is used to refer to those who are godless. This is the unfortunate situation of Kali Yuga. The word Guru refers to the spiritual master who initiates his disciple into advancement in the science of Krishna or Krishna consciousness, as stated by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Shri Bhagavan Mantro Padeshe Shake Gurav Ityartha. Text 33. Nodvignachitto vyasaneshu nispraha shruteshu drishteshu guneshwas swastu drik dantendriya prana shariradhi sada prashanta kamo rathitasuro sura. Although Prahlad Maharaj was born in a family of asuras, he himself was not an asura but a great devotee of Lord Vishnu. Unlike the other asuras, he was never envious of Vaishnavs. He was not agitated when put into danger, and he was neither directly nor indirectly interested in the fruit of activities described in the Vedas. Indeed, he considered everything material to be useless, and therefore he was completely devoid of material desires. He always controlled his senses and life air, and being steady in intelligence and determination, he subdued lusty desires. Purport. From this verse, we discover that a man is not qualified or disqualified simply by birth. Prahlad Maharaj was an asura by birth, yet he possessed all the qualities of a perfect Brahman. Brahmanya Shila Sampanna. Anyone can become a fully qualified Brahmana under the direction of a spiritual master. Prahlad Maharaj provided a vivid example of how to think of the spiritual master and accept his directions calmly. 34. Yasmin mahat guna rajan kriyante kavibir muhuhu na te dhuna patihante yata bhagavata tishvare. O King, Prahlad Maharaj's good qualities are still glorified by learned saints and Vaishnavas. As all good qualities are always found existing in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they also exist forever in his devotee Prahlad Maharaj. Purport, from authoritative scripture it is learned that Prahlad Maharaj still lives in Vaikuntha Loka, as well as within this material world on the planet Sutala. This transcendental quality of existing simultaneously in different places is another qualification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Galoka eva nivisatyakilat mabhutaha. The Lord appears in the core of everyone's heart, yet he exists on his own planet, Galoka Vrindavan. A devotee acquires qualities almost the same as those of the Lord because of unalloyed devotional service. Ordinary living beings cannot be so qualified, but a devotee can be qualified like the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not in full, but partially. 35. Yam sadhu ghata sadasi ripa riphavo pisurandrapa pratimanam prakurvanti kim utanye vavardrasha. In any assembly where there are discourses about saints and devotees, O King Yudhishthira, even the enemies of the demons, namely the demigods, what to speak of you, would cite Prahlad Maharaj as an example of a great devotee. Text 36. Who could list the innumerable transcendental qualities of Prahlad Maharaj? He had unflinching faith in Vasudev, Lord Krishna, the son of Vasudev, and unalloyed devotion to him. His attachment to Lord Krishna was natural because of his previous devotional service. Although his good qualities cannot be enumerated, they prove that he was a great soul, Mahatma. Purport. In his prayers to the ten incarnations, Jayadeva Goswami says, Keshava Dritta Narahari Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare. Prahlad Maharaj was a devotee of Lord Nrisimha, who is Keshava, Krishna himself. Therefore, when this verse says, Vasudeve Bhagavati, one should understand that Prahlad Maharaj's attachment for Nrisimhadev was attachment for Krishna, Vasudev, the son of Vasudev. Prahlad Maharaj, therefore, is described as a great Mahatma, as the Lord himself confirms in Bhagavad Gita 7.19. Bahunam janmanam mante gyanavam mam prapadyate Vasudeva sarvamiti. Sa Mahatma Sudur Labaha. After many births and deaths, he who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. A great devotee of Krishna, the son of Vasudev, is a great soul very rarely to be found. Prahlad Maharaj's attachment for Krishna will be explained in the next verse. Krishna Graha Grahitatma. Prahlad Maharaj's heart was always filled with thoughts of Krishna. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj is the ideal devotee in Krishna consciousness. Aha, here it is, text 37. Nyasta kridhanako palo janavatan manastaya Krishna graha grahitatma naveda jagad idrisham. From the very beginning of his childhood, Prahlad Maharaj was uninterested in childish playthings. Indeed, he gave them up altogether and remained silent and dull, being fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Since his mind was always affected by Krishna consciousness, he could not understand how the world goes on being fully absorbed in the activities of sense gratification. Purport. Prahlad Maharaj is the vivid example of a great soul fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 8.274, it is said, Stavara jangamadheki nadheki tarmurti sarvatra hoy nija ishta deva spurti. A fully Krishna conscious person, although situated in this material world, does not see anything but Krishna anywhere and everywhere. This is the sign of a Mahabhagavata. The Mahabhagavata sees Krishna everywhere because of his attitude of pure love for Krishna, as confirmed in the Brahma Sanghita 5.38. Primanjana chutita bhakti vilochanena santaksadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti yangshama sundaram achintya gunaswarupam govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami. I worship the primeval Lord Govinda, who is always seen by the devotees whose eyes are anointed with the pulp of love. He is seen in his eternal form of Shyamasundara, situated within the heart of the devotee. An exalted devotee or Mahatma, who is rarely to be seen, remains fully conscious of Krishna and constantly sees the Lord within the core of his heart. It is sometimes said that when one is influenced by evil stars like Saturn, Rahu, or Ketu, he cannot make advancement in any prospective activity. In just the opposite way, Prahlad Maharaj was influenced by Krishna, the supreme planet, and thus he could not think of the material world and live without Krishna consciousness. That is the sign of a Mahabhagavata. Even if one is an enemy of Krishna, Mahabhagavata sees him to be also engaged in Krishna's service. Another crude example is that everything appears yellow to the jaundiced eye. Similarly, to a Mahabhagavata, everyone but himself appears to be engaged in Krishna's service. Prahlad Maharaj is the approved Mahabhagavata, the supreme devotee. In the previous verse, it was stated that he had natural attachment, naisargiki ratihi. The symptoms of such natural attachment for Krishna are described in this verse. Although Prahlad Maharaj was only a boy, he had no interest in playing. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.42, viraktiranyatra cha. The symptom of perfect Krishna consciousness is that one loses interest in all material activities. For a small boy, to give up playing is impossible. But Prahlad Maharaj, being situated in first-class devotional service, was always absorbed in a trance of Krishna consciousness, just as a materialistic person is always absorbed in thoughts of material gain. A Mahabhagavata, like Prahlad Maharaj, is always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. Text 38. Prahlad Maharaj was always absorbed in thought of Krishna, thus being always embraced by the Lord. He did not know how his bodily necessities, such as sitting, walking, eating, lying down, drinking, and talking, were being automatically performed. Of note in this verse, Govinda Paririmbita. I'll say the Sanskrit for 38. Asina Paryatan Ashnan Shayana Prapiban Bruvan Nanu Sundhata Itani Govinda Parirambitaha. Asina, while sitting. Paryatam, while walking. Ashnan, while eating. Shayanaha, while lying down. Prapiban, while drinking. Bruvan, while talking. Na, not. Anusandate, new. Itani, all these activities. Govinda, by the Supreme Personality of Godhead who enlivens the senses. Parirambitaha, being embraced. Translation again. Prahlad Maharaj was always absorbed in thought of Krishna. Thus, being always embraced by the Lord, he did not know how his bodily necessities, such as sitting, walking, eating, lying down, drinking, and talking, were being automatically performed. Purport. A small child, while being cared for by his mother, does not know how the needs of the body for eating, sleeping, lying down, passing water, and evacuating air are being fulfilled. He is simply satisfied to be on the lap of his mother. Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj was exactly like a small child being cared for by Govinda. The necessary activities of his body were performed without his knowledge. As a father and mother care for their child, Govinda cared for Prahlad Maharaj, who remained always absorbed in thoughts of Govinda. This is Krishna consciousness. Prahlad Maharaj is the vivid example of perfection in Krishna consciousness. 39. Because of advancement in Krishna consciousness, he sometimes cried, sometimes laughed, sometimes expressed jubilation, and sometimes sang loudly. Purport. This verse further clarifies the comparison of a devotee to a child. If a mother leaves her small child in his bed or cradle and goes away to attend to some family duties, the child immediately understands that his mother has gone away, and therefore he cries. But as soon as the mother returns and cares for the child laughs and becomes jubilant. Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj, being always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, sometimes felt separation, thinking, where is Krishna? This is explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Shunyayitam jagat sarvam govinda vidahename. When an exalted devotee feels that Krishna is invisible, Having gone away, he cries in separation, and sometimes when he sees that Krishna has returned to care for him, he laughs, just as a child sometimes laughs upon understanding that his mother is taking care of him. These symptoms are called bhava. In the nectar devotion, various bhavas, ecstatic conditions of a devotee, are fully described. These bhavas are visible in the activities of a perfect devotee. 40. Nadati kvachit utkanto vilacho nrityati kvachit kvachit tad bhavana yuktas tanmayo nu chakaraha. Sometimes upon seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Prahlad Maharaj would loudly call in full anxiety. He sometimes lost his shyness and jubilation and began dancing in ecstasy. And sometimes, being fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, he felt oneness and imitated the pastimes of the Lord. Purport, Prahlad Maharaj sometimes felt that the Lord was far away from him and therefore called him loudly. When he saw that the Lord was before him, he was fully jubilant. Sometimes, thinking himself one with the Supreme, he imitated the Lord's pastimes, and in separation from the Lord, he would sometimes show symptoms of madness. These feelings of a devotee would not be appreciated by impersonalists. One must go further and further into spiritual understanding. The first realization is impersonal Brahman. But one must go still further to realize Paramatma, and eventually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is worshipped by the transcendental feelings of a devotee in a relationship of Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, or Madhurya. Here the feelings of Prahlad Maharaj were in the mellow of Vatsalya, filial love and affection. As a child cries when left by his mother, when Prahlad Maharaj felt that the Lord was away from him, he began to cry, Nadati. Again, a devotee like Prahlad sometimes sees that the Lord is coming from a long distance to pacify him, like a mother responding to a child, saying, My dear child, do not cry. I am coming. Then the Lord, without being ashamed, due to his surroundings and circumstances, begins to dance, thinking. Then the devotee, without being ashamed, due to his surroundings and circumstances, begins to dance, thinking, Here is my Lord. My Lord is coming. Thus the devotee in full ecstasy sometimes imitates the pastimes of the Lord, just as the cowherd boys used to imitate the behavior of the jungle animals. However, he does not actually become the Lord. Prahlad Maharaj achieved the spiritual ecstasies described herein by his advancement in spiritual understanding. Text 41. Sometimes feeling the touch of the Lord's lotus hands, he became spiritually jubilant and remained silent, his hairs standing on end and tears gliding down from his half-closed eyes because of his love for the Lord. Purport, when a devotee feels separation from the Lord, he becomes eager to see where the Lord is, and sometimes, when he feels pangs of separation, tears flow incessantly from his half-closed eyes. As stated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shikshashtaka, Yugayatam Nimishena Chakshusha Pravrishayatam. The words Chakshusha Pravrishayatam refer to tears falling incessantly from the devotee's eyes. These symptoms, which appear in pure devotional ecstasy, are visible in the body of Prahlad Maharaj. Text 42. Because of his association with perfect unalloyed devotees who had nothing to do with anything material, Prahlad Maharaj constantly engaged in the service of the Lord's lotus feet. By seeing his bodily features when he was in perfect ecstasy, persons very poor in spiritual understanding became purified. In other words, Prahlad Maharaj bestowed upon them transcendental bliss. Purport, apparently Prahlad Maharaj was placed in circumstances in which he was always tortured by his father. In such material conditions, one cannot have an undisturbed mind. But since bhakti is unconditional, ahetukya pratiyata, Prahlad Maharaj was never disturbed by the chastisements of Hiranyakashipu. On the contrary, the bodily symptoms of his ecstatic love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead turned the minds of his friends, who had also been born in atheistic families. Instead of being disturbed by the torments of his father, Prahlad influenced these friends and cleansed their minds. A devotee is never contaminated by material conditions. A person subjected to material conditions can become spiritually advanced and blissful upon seeing the behavior of a pure devotee. Text 43. My dear King Yudhishthir, the demon Hiranyakashipu tormented this exalted, fortunate devotee, although Prahlad was his own son. purport, when a demon like Hiranyakashipu, despite his elevated position, due to severe austerities, begins to tease a devotee, he begins falling down, and the results of his austerities dwindle. One who oppresses a pure devotee loses all the results of his austerities, penances, and pious activities. Since Hiranyakashipu was now inclined to chastise his most exalted devotee son, Prahlad Maharaj, his opulences began dwindling. Maharaj Yudhisthira said, O best of the saints among the demigods, O best of spiritual leaders, how did Hiranyakashipu give so much trouble to Prahlad Maharaj, the pure and exalted saint, although Prahlad was his own son? I wish to know about this subject from you. Purport. To know about the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the characteristics of his pure devotee, one must inquire from authorities, like Devarshi Narada. One cannot inquire about the transcendental subject matters from a layman, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 3.25.25, Satam prasangan mama virya sambido bhavanti hrit karna rasayana kata. Only by association with devotees can one authoritatively understand the position of the Lord and his devotees. A devotee like Narada Muni is addressed as Suvrata. Su means good and Vrata means vow. Thus the word Suvrata refers to a person who has nothing to do with the material world, which is always bad. One cannot understand anything spiritual from a materialistic scholar puffed up with academic knowledge. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 18.55, Bhaktyamam abhijanati, one must try to understand Krishna by devotional service and from a devotee. Therefore, Yudhisthira Maharaj was quite right in wanting to learn further about Prahlad Maharaj from Sri Narada Muni. Text 45. A father and mother are always affectionate to their children. When the children are disobedient, the parents chastise them, not due to enmity, but only for the child's instruction and welfare. How did Hiranyakashipu, the father of Prahlad Maharaj, chastise such a noble son? This is what I am eager to know. 46. Maharaj Yudhisthira further inquired, how is it possible for a father to be so violent toward an exalted son who is obedient, well-behaved, and respectful to his father? O Brahmana, O Master, I have never heard of such a contradiction as an affectionate father's punishing his noble son with the intention of killing him. Kindly dissipate our doubts in this regard. Purport, in the history of human society, an affectionate father is rarely found to chastise a noble and devoted son. Therefore, Maharaj Yudhisthira wanted Narada Muni to dissipate his doubt. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 7th canto, 4th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Hiranyakashipu Terrorizes the Universe. Chapter 5. Prahlad Maharaj, the saintly son of Hiranyakashipu. Prahlad Maharaj did not carry out the orders of his teachers, for he was always engaged in worshipping Lord Vishnu. As described in this chapter, Hiranyakashipu tried to kill Prahlad Maharaj, even by having a snake bite him and by putting him under the feet of elephants, yet he was unsuccessful. Hiranyakashipu's spiritual master, Shukracharya, had two sons named Shanda and Amarka, to whom Prahlad Maharaj was entrusted for education. Although the teachers tried to educate the boy Prahlad in politics, economics, and other material activities, he did not care for their instructions. Instead, he continued to be a pure devotee. Prahlad Maharaj never liked the idea of discriminating between one's friends and enemies. Because he was spiritually inclined, he was equal toward everyone. Once upon a time, Hiranyakashipu inquired from his son what the best thing was he had learned from his teachers. Prahlad Maharaj replied that a man grows to the material consciousness of duality, thinking, this is mine and that belongs to my enemy, should give up his householder life and go to the forest to worship the Supreme Lord. When Hiranyakashipu heard from his son about devotional service, he decided that this small boy had been polluted by some friend in school. Thus, he advised the teachers to take care of the boy so that he would not become a Krishna-conscious devotee. However, when the teachers inquired from Prahlad Maharaj why he was going against their teachings, Prahlad taught the teachers that the mentality of ownership is false and that he was therefore trying to become an unalloyed devotee of Lord Vishnu. The teachers, being very angry at this answer, chastised and threatened the boy with many fearful conditions. They taught him to the best of their ability and then brought him before his father. Hiranyakashipu affectionately took his son Prahlad on his lap and then inquired from him what the best thing was that he had learned from his teachers. As usual, Prahlad Maharaj began praising the 9 processes of devotional service, such as Shravanam and Kirtanam. Thus, the king of the demons, Hiranyakashipu, being extremely angry, chastised the teachers, Shanda and Amarka, for having wrongly trained Prahlad Maharaj. The so-called teachers informed the king that Prahlad Maharaj was automatically a devotee and did not listen to their instructions. When they proved themselves innocent, Hiranyakashipu inquired from Prahlad where he had learned Vishnu Bhakti. Prahlad Maharaj replied that those who are attached to family life do not develop Krishna consciousness, either personally or collectively. Instead, they suffer repeated birth and death in this material world and continue simply chewing the chewed. Prahlad explained that the duty of every man is to take shelter of a pure devotee and thus become eligible to understand Krishna consciousness. Enraged at this answer, Hiranyakashipu threw Prahlad Maharaj from his lap. Since Prahlad was so treacherous that he had become a devotee of Vishnu, who had killed his uncle Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu asked his assistants to kill him. The assistants of Hiranyakashipu struck Prahlad with sharp arrows, threw him under the feet of elephants, subjected him to hellish conditions, threw him from the peak of a mountain, and tried to kill him in thousands of other ways, but they were unsuccessful. Hiranyakashipu therefore became increasingly afraid of his son Prahlad Maharaj and arrested him. The sons of Hiranyakashipu's spiritual master, Shukracharya, began teaching Prahlad in their own way, but Prahlad Maharaj did not accept their instructions. While the teachers were absent from the classroom, Prahlad Maharaj began to preach Krishna consciousness in the school, and by his instructions, all his class friends, the sons of demons, became devotees like him. Thus ends this evening's reading of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapters 4, and the beginning of Chapter 5, which is entitled Prahlad, the Saintly Son of Hiranyakashipu. In the previous chapter was called Hiranyakashipu Terrorizes the Universe. And now we'll hear a few reflections. What parts did you hear that stuck in your mind?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj, Dandat Pranam, this is Shraddha Devi Dasi. Thank you so much for joining us today. Maharaj, one of the things that struck me was from verse number 34, where it says that the qualities of Prahlad Maharaj are still glorified. And this is such an old story, and after so many years, we are still talking about Prahlad Maharaj. Whereas when we talk about some of the big shots, like film actors or presidents and all, They come like, you know, shooting star, and they disappear into oblivion in a few years. Everybody forgets about them in a few years from now. Mm. But Prahlad Maharaj had qualities of, because being a devotee had qualities of the Lord, so his qualities also become eternal. So that was the point that struck me very nicely. I mean,
nice point.
Even if it was, yeah, millions of years later, people still remember him.
Thank you very much, Shraddha Devi Dasi.
Hare Krishna.
Go right ahead. A few more things that you heard that stuck in your mind.
Manoparam, I like the verse 42 in which, like, Prahlad Maharaj teaches by his example, in which is like last line of the purport says, a devotee is never contaminated by material condition, but person subjected to material condition can become spiritually advanced and blissful upon seeing the behavior of a pure devotee. So this was really, like, we can see how Prabhupada came in this Western world, and he, by his behavior, he changed so many people, and still we are seeing that generation are continuing to his disciples and his disciples. So
nice one. Very nice. few more.
In the Maharaj, I am again telling the 44 that very nicely he told like how if we want to know about Supreme Personality of Godhead in the first line and the characteristics of His purity, one must inquire from authorities like Devarsi Narad. One cannot inquire about transcendental subject matter from a layman. So it was very, very, very evident. Like any book, we can't just open and understand. We should inquire from a pure duty of the Lord. Then only we can understand Supreme Personality and His characteristics.
Thank you, Mukharvind. Who's next?
Thank you, Manoj.
I think there's only the three of us left on the phone.
Maharaj, I have one question. Like in the first few things, like Narad, it has stated that Narad Muni also started glorifying the Hiranyakasipu. Then I had doubt, like, and then Prabhupada written in the commentary that sometime even pure devotee and a devotee become devotee has to be, and it, like, they have to adjust in sometime situations. So I could not understand, like, why Narad Muni has to glorify Hiranyakasipu.
Hare Guru Maharaj Shyamalangi.
Hare Krishna Shyamalangi.
Yeah, I noted the point end of text 25 and 26 purport where Prabhupada says that performing kirtan and hearing the vibration of the sound Hare Krishna is actually seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. One must realize this position and then one will be able to understand the absolute nature of Lord's activities.
Yeah, very powerful, huh? In another... in another section.
Dhanavad Pranam Prabhu.
1 second. I just want to make this point. In one other section, Srila Prabhupada says that Lord Nrisimhadev placed his hand on the head of Prahlad Maharaj. And Prabhupada comments that Lord Nrisimhadev is placing his hand on the head of Prahlad Maharaj and our chanting the Maha Mantra are not different because by both of those we're actually in direct contact with the Supreme Lord. Yeah, I thought of that also. Nice point. Yes?
Yeah, Maharaj, I'm
Prabhuji,
on the
I like that.
Oh, I'm...
The Supreme
hold on 1 second. One other person was... Who is that? Go ahead.
I'm Prabhash, actually.
1 second, Prabhash. There was one other person just in front of you. Go. 1 sec, Prabhash. Just hold on 1 second. Okay, who is next?
Benediction, no matter how much ever benediction we have, if we offend a Vaishnava, we lose everything. So that point really struck me, and it's really fearful, and we should avoid offenses. That's what the point that caught my attention.
Yes, and you know, offenses, aparatas to Vaishnavas last for a long time. The effects of those can last lifetimes, actually. This is brought out in the Madhurya Kadambini by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that Vaishnava aparada is so serious that the effects of it can linger lifetime after lifetime, and there's a way in which it impedes our progress in devotional service. Nice point. I noted that also. Prabhash, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Maharaj. Actually, I was trying to ask a question since too nice, but somehow this mute, I don't know whether it seems like my side of the phone was mute. What caught my attention, Maharaj, and I think many devotees may be having the feeling which I have in the office. So there are people in the office who are absolutely opposite to our belief structures in respect to their day-to-day life and especially their food. And I developed a very ill feeling and for those people But and it was in me for a long time until just now. One thing caught my ears when you preached that a Vaishnav will not have feelings like that, and they see everyone the same. But it is so hard to accept in the office when people around you eat things which we pray and consider as God, you know, our sacred things. And so how do I, you know, how do I adjust to that feeling? I don't know.
Well, the description of Prahlad Maharaj given here as a Mahabhagavata,
yeah,
was called Uttama Adhikari. In this definition of Uttama Adhikari, there's a way in which the devotee doesn't see any distinctions between higher and lower. In other words, he sees all living entities as being very exalted. However, one should not imitate the Uttama Adhikari. In fact, Uttama Adhikaris, even when they come to preach in the material world, they come down to the Madhyama Adhikari, or the middle platform. And in the middle platform of devotional service, as described in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, makes distinctions between four different kinds of entities. They see the Supreme Lord and they offer their love. They see the devotees and they make appropriate friendships. They see the innocent and they give mercy. And they see the envious and they avoid them. Ishvare tadadineshu balisheshu dusatsucha prema maitri kripopiksha yakaroti samadhyamaha. So it's not that we should act like Prahlad Maharaj and just say, you know, we see everybody equally, because you can't do that artificially. But we should distinguish between those who are envious and those who are innocent and so forth. And those who are envious, we should be upeksha. That means we should avoid them or be indifferent to them.
Right,
yeah,
right.
That's our duty as those who are representatives of the Acharya who go out into the world to spread Krishna consciousness. We should act like that. Okay?
Yes, yes. Well, thanks a lot. One more question I have, which caught my attention, that you said sometime even a great devotee can be controlled by demons. So this is kind of scary. Like, what should we do to not happen to any one of us? And how do I know that something like that may have happened to ordinary people like us?
Well, that's a Mukharavind also asked that question. I haven't answered it yet, but the point is that you can't avoid it in the material world. If Narada Muni is in such a situation, then we certainly can't avoid it. There may be a way in which we are in compromised situations because the material nature moves by the modes, and while we're walking in the material world, we'll also have be subject to all kinds of situations, which may include being subservient to some demon at some point. But that doesn't mean that the devotee changes his devotional attitude. It just means he's temporarily compromised because of a situation. I mean, Prabhupada was a pure devotee, and he moved in the world in such a way that, he went where he could. But there was every possibility that he could be waylaid by certain governments, and he was. I think Singapore didn't let him in. They still don't let in devotees if they see that you're wearing neck beads. They'll say, go away. And so it's not that because somebody's a pure devotee in the material world that they don't become subjected to, you know, certain kind of influences in the material world. They never change their devotional attitude, but these things are going on in the material world. This is part of the example of the story that the material world is such a place that we can't avoid these kinds of inconveniences.
Yes. Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay. Thank you very much. Nice to hear your voice, Prabhash.
Thank you.
A few more.
I'll be
more
there in the morning.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Okay, drive carefully.
Yes, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Let's hear a few more. It's too nice to stop, if you may, if you can.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
This is Sheila. I just had a question from 7442.
Why?
The translation.
Okay.
Fine, I'll eat it.
It says, because of his association with perfect, nothing to do with anything material, Prahlad Maharaj constantly engaged in the service. Are we talking about Narad Muni here?
Yes. Yeah, Prahlad Maharaj got the association of Narada Muni when he was in the womb.
Okay.
And from that association, then he became completely purified devotee.
Okay.
Yes.
Hare Krishna Babuji, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, how nice, because today the mute or unmute was such a big problem. So I didn't know. I've tried many times, but I guess you could hear me. But anyways, what I really liked and found very, very beautiful was this analogy where a child's behavior is compared to a pure devotee's behavior, that at times he's very jubilant when he thinks that Krishna is caring for him and he feels his presence and guidance in his heart. And on the other hand, when he feels separation, like a child feels separation from the mother, he cries for his mother. The same comparison is made for a pure devotee when he feels separation, that he cries with half-closed eyes for Krishna. So I found that very, very beautiful.
Yeah, that's a nice point. And the analogy also about how dependent a pure devotee is on the Lord, being compared to an infant who doesn't know how the bodily functions are taking place. I was thinking of the verse in the fifth chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says that a person who's in samadhi doesn't know or realizes that the functions of the body are taking place independently, and he has nothing to do with them. It's not exactly this; it's similar. But the point is that it's a nice analogy because you can relate to the fact that an infant is so helpless, he doesn't care for any kind of personal volition to take care of himself. He simply depends on the Lord. Nice point. Thanks for bringing that out. Okay, next. Who's got another one? It's like churning the milk ocean. All the nectar comes out. Churn just a little bit more. Please give us at least two more.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, yes. Can I share one more?
Absolutely.
The verse 7438. The translation struck me. It was not to read because it said Prahlad Maharaj was always absorbed in thought of Krishna and thus being always embraced by the Lord. I mean, normally, speaking for myself, I would say that, you know, when I always used to think that, you know, constant thinking of Krishna. I mean, what is it? I mean, it's difficult to do in.
Uh-oh. We lost her.
Yes, sir.
Sheila, we lost you.
Yes.
Okay, we'll pick that up tomorrow. Maybe we lost you there.
Yeah.
All right. Does anyone want to have the last word? One last?
Maharaj, in the... Oh, sorry. Someone, in the 31 and 32nd, the very wonderful qualities of Prahlad Maharaj have been described. And I like the first verse. So first says that to understand the absolute truth, one needs to have full control over his senses and mind.
So it's a very, very basic thing and very, very powerful.
Yes, that's a nice point. It's a really sweet point. It's such a basic point, Mukharavind. Really nice. Also in that verse, I had marked that to respectable persons, he acted exactly like a menial servant. To the poor, he was like a father. To his equals, he was attached like a sympathetic brother. And he considered his teachers, spiritual masters, and older God-brothers to be as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I like that in that mood. You know, it shows the way in which a pure devotee interacts with all kinds of people in the most appropriate ways, so that he can honor them and thus, you know, melt their hearts and drink the contents. Okay, we did another yajna here tonight. Unless somebody has one last one, we'll just close it off tonight, saying that this reading of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the incarnation of Krishna in the Kali Yuga, it gives light to all the hearers, and the vibration goes all over the planet for the benefit of all living entities. So we congratulate everyone tonight for taking part in this yajna. The effects are indelible. They will be eternally felt within the heart, eternally felt. And now the great damage has been done to Kali Yuga and to any anartas that may still be lingering anywhere in the heart of those who have listened tonight. Those anartas have been chased away or put on alert that they'll soon be smashed.
Haribol.
Sri Prahlad Maharaj ki jai. Sri Narada Muni ki jai.
Yeah.
Lord Brahma ki jai.
Yeah.
All glories to the simple devotees. Go pray manande haribo. Can everyone please say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.